The Vatican has released Pope Benedict's message for Lent 2008. In the message entitled, Christ Made Himself Poor for You, the Pope invites the faithful to emulate Christ's sacrifice through prayer and fasting, and places new emphasis on charity and almsgiving. The message was announced Tuesday at a Vatican press conference chaired by the President of the Pontifical Council, Cor Unum, Cardinal Paul Joseph Cordes. Emer McCarthy has more.
Presenting the document Tuesday, Cor Unum President Cardinal Cordes said at the heart of the Pope's Lenten message is a reminder, in giving, we receive.
If we look only to the sacrifice and we don't see that this sacrifice will free me and the joy of the risen Christ, then I am not a true Christian.
Cor Unum Secretary Monsignor Carol Castile said that during Lent, the Council is inundated with requests for help.
The first of the nine tasks that the Pope entrusted to the Pontifical Council, Cor Unum, what he calls the catechesis of charity, make people understand what charity is all about. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding also on the word itself. As you know, in the English-speaking world, there are lots of charities. But do they mean charity in the sense of the gospel? The virtue of charity, faith, hope, and charity, love, the love of God and the love of our neighbor. And that's what the Holy Father intends to say in his Lenten message.
Speaking to journalists Tuesday, Cardinal Cordes also pointed out that justice goes hand in hand with charity. He called for greater transparency among aid agencies working in the field, particularly regarding the actual percentage of donated monies which arrive at the intended destination, pointing out that in some cases over 50% is spent on no necessary administration costs. In sharp contrast, he quoted figures of Christian charities such as Caritas, the Order of Malta, and Aid to the Church in Need. According to 2006 figures, out of a total donations, these global organizations spent 9, 7, and 6%, respectively, on logistical expenses, the rest going completely to the projects they were destined for. Hans-Peter Ruthlin is president of Aid to the Church in Need, which raised over $81 million in 2006 to help over 5,000 projects worldwide.
One of the secrets we have to help us to calm down the administration costs is that we look to work through volunteers. We help the bishops to do their job, that they can do it. I think the biggest challenge is to never be forced something, and that is colonialism, and is not even more Christian.
Hans Rothling concluded by quoting Father Werenfried, founder of Aid to the Church in Need. It is essential for all aid agencies to remember that they are not only administrating the money of their benefactors, they are, above all, administrating their sacrifice and their charity. I'm Emer McCarthy.
Well, I spoke to the head of press and information at the London office of Aid to the Church in Need, John Pontifex, and asked him if he thought it was significant that the Pope would want to highlight the very special needs of Christians in the church that suffers.
I think it's become very clear already in this pontificate that Pope Benedict XVI sees as crucial to his role the support that's desperately needed for Christians in parts of the world where they do not enjoy the freedoms that we have come to know and perhaps take advantage of in this part of the world in the West. Again and again in his statements and in the kinds of things that we've heard him say, both in his homilies and in other exhortations, he's made it clear that a line has to be drawn in the sand whereby people really do see it as being part of their Christian duty to, at the very least, to pray for those Christians who suffer for their faith, and perhaps more than that, to act in a practical way in support of those who aren't as fortunate as ourselves and don't enjoy the freedoms to worship and to practice their faith freely.
In fact, if you're looking back over some of the other things in this pontificate, you were beginning to mention them, the Pope's encyclical Deus Caritas Est. Also, he wrote to the German Chancellor soon after her election, Angela Merkel, writing to her to lead a European campaign to aid Africa. Charity, almsgiving, giving is really a theme that has been running through this pontificate.
Yes, absolutely. And I think he very much links the support for Christians who suffer for their faith with the whole exercise of almsgiving. The two are necessarily linked again and again, both in that message that he made to Angela Merkel and even in his Deus Caritas Est encyclical. You can see how he linked theological hope with a practical application. To be ambassadors of Christ, we have to not only think our faith, but to act our faith.
I mean, it's quite interesting that this particular message for Lent is he's asking us to emulate Jesus, Jesus' suffering and his giving of himself to others.
Yes, absolutely. There is a sense in which he really does re-evoke in our minds the way in which Christ very personally identifies with the suffering, that they, by their very nature, have this unique bond of love and of fellowship with Christ. And that is such a powerful Lenten image. It reminds us of the message given by our founder, the founder of Aid to the Church in Need, Father Werenfried van Straten, who spoke very, very powerfully of how the abandoned Jesus on the cross is in effect recreated in the suffering church that he experienced, particularly in those early post-war years of Soviet domination in Eastern Europe. So it's a theme that's very closely connected to the statutes, to the theological underpinning of Aid to the Church in Need.
One thing that the Pope has been saying in this message is that we are not the true owners of the goods that we possess. And he's saying, let us try to think less about these worldly things. They are something that God has given us, a richness, a wealth that God has given us that should be shared. Have you seen many people in your work who are actually able to do this, even though they may just have a little bit to share with others?
Yeah, again and again and again. And I think it's borne out especially in legacy giving. It is astonishing how it would seem that people who have been devoted to Christ all their lives reach that moment as they approach death where they think, hang on a moment, what really matters here? I can't possibly take all these worldly goods with me up into to heaven, please God, that I get there. But no, I want to use it as a means of giving back to others what I have received myself. I think of those occasions where people have clearly, in an act of extraordinary giving, have spoken to us about how Aid to the Church in Need and other charities too remind them of the temporary nature of this life and how in acts of giving we can make love last beyond the grave.
In this message that the Pope is giving Catholics, he's saying the time of Lent, we shouldn't let it just stop there. Charity should become a habit in our lives. But sometimes we feel that, you know, our $10 to a charity, what is that really going to do to help a child in Africa? Sometimes we just throw up our hands and give up and say, goodness, I only have $10 to give. It really doesn't seem like it's going to get anywhere or do any good.
And it is understandable, very understandable, that people should feel a sense, at the very least, of despondency, if not despair. And they see that the situation shows no sign of improvement. But I'm very fortunate in my work at Aid to the Church in Need that I actually am able to see the work myself as it is carried out in countries as spread apart as Sudan, Cuba, and Pakistan, and the Middle East, and the churches that are built, the catechisms that are handed out to children, the child's Bibles, likewise, the convents which might have a chapel built for them. I mean, I think particularly about one particular chapel that I visited in Pakistan, where the support given by Aid to the Church Need following attack on that chapel in southeast Pakistan, you could see that people considered us heroes in their midst, that we had helped with the rebuilding of this chapel and were pledging to give more. And it was that moment where you saw that the unadulterated and uncompromising pleasure and joy of those benefiting that made you really see for yourself the value. And it reinstated your sense of belief and trust in charitable giving, that it really can achieve miraculous things. And I can see this replicated again and again throughout the work. I mean, in Aid to the Church in Need, the facts speak for themselves that the charity undertakes each year an average of more than 5,000 projects, from church building to supporting seminarians to mass stipends for priests. And then you can see that work being carried out in 140 countries or more around the world. You know, if that was to stop tomorrow, you can rightly ask, where would the church be, the church universal that we hold as being an essential characteristic of our sense of church, our sense of the ecclesial body? But I think that actually the media is partly to blame, because it skews the news agenda so that people only tend to focus in on the disaster situation. The good news story inevitably seems to get buried unless it involves a celebrity or something. So I think Lent is by its nature a time for hope and a time for reassessment, where we break out of the usual confines of our mental habits, if you like, and think more positively about how things develop. And at Aid to the Church in Need, you can see how that very positive development is going on and is building up the church and spreading the gospel.
Thanks there to John Pontifex, head of press and information at Aid to the Church in Need in the UK.